This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky and I'll be your host today. I've got with us here in Bend, Oregon in our studio, I've got Bobby Hobby.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good, good. And we also have some guests I'm really looking forward to talking to today. Paul and Sue Lavier.
Hey Chris.
I said that right. Like we just had this whole discussion.
Yeah.
Not Lavier.
It's kind of multiple choice. Yeah. We'll take anything.
Good. Okay, good, good. So they are ambassadors for the Love After Marriage workshop that's part of the Nothing Hidden Ministries, and we wanted to talk to them today about just the overall, you know, kind of the situation that marriages and relationships are in, as well as the specifically the Love After Marriage workshop, what it is, kind of give people an understanding of what that is. This is a ministry that I think is profoundly powerful. My wife and I have done a couple of these different events, and it's been pretty transformational. What's different is because of the whole global situation, we're now moving some of this stuff into the online realm. And I think God has been kind of pushing us in a direction, and maybe we weren't so sure, but He's still doing amazing work. So just thank you for taking some time with us today to kind of dig into this
stuff. Pleasure.
Yeah. So I guess the first thing is, there are people all over the world that hear this from just a real simple kind of overview. What is a love after marriage? And then this also is all the time called a LAM, you know, the acronym Love After Marriage. What is a love after marriage workshop?
Love After Marriage workshops are a little bit unique. We've done a number of marriage events and a lot of great ideas and good behaviors and the whole issue with LAM is it's not so much about changing behavior as transformation. And obviously it's not Sue and I that can create any kind of transformation. It's through the Holy Spirit. So it's that's the way it's designed. That's the way all the tools are built. It's all about hearing God and hearing what He has to say about whatever it is you're dealing with. So it's also about community. And so even in the context of our workshops, we see people come together, even in a 3.5 day, they are better friends a lot of times with the people at that table than with their own families. And certainly they probably know more than their own families do about them. But it's an amazing transformation that we see over that 3.5 days.
You know, when Becky and I went through the 18-week, it was so great for that. The people at our table that we thought we knew, we went to a whole nother level. I mean, it's literally like being on an 18-week missions trip but the mission is your heart. The mission is strengthening each other, and you start to see the light go on around the table, and people get it, and they find that thing that's going to take their marriage to the next level, and as friends, you get to discover that together. So there's this personal component. Becky and I were rocked. We were changed by it. But then there's this relational component beyond just your marriage that you get to discover with friends. Right. Chris, it's amazing.
Yeah. So you know, my wife and I have been married over 20 years, and we've done a lot of Christian workshops and resources and books and things. And the way I've described a lot of that is there's nothing particularly wrong with them. They're you know, great. But it's very tactical. It's like, hey, men, you should listen when your wife is talking. And women, you should have sex with your husband more often. And by the way, go have date nights every week. And that's kind of like, not to be too blunt about it, but that's kind of a lot of the format wrapped into like a workshop. And what I think was profoundly different about the Love After Marriage is it doesn't even start with the marriage, really. It's more about this relationship with you and the Holy Spirit and really working with God. Can you guys speak to that a little bit? Because I think for a lot of people, that's really foreign sounding, and they're not sure exactly how you can pull that off. Yeah, so what would you say?
Yeah, it's a very interactive journey between you and God.
And we start out by being very transparent ourselves and our journey that we went through. And we went through some of those marriage workshops. And at the time, we needed so much deep transformative work that only aggravated. And I think those marriage workshops are great, don't get me wrong. But for us, we carried some stuff into our marriage that we had just shoved under the carpet for years, and to the point where we started tripping over the carpet, right? And it's like, we need to do something. And when we attended the Love After Marriage workshop for the first time, it was a safe atmosphere where we felt like we could be transparent and open. And around this table group, we had people that were also willing to be open in a very safe atmosphere, confidential. And we were told, only share as much as the Holy Spirit is telling you to share. But if He's telling you, make sure you share, because those are areas He wants to deal with. So we are not going to stand up here and just talk at you. We're going to lead you in this process of having Holy Spirit invade these areas where it makes it difficult for you to reconcile. We're going to go after generational strongholds, go after forgiveness, getting into identity alignment of who God truly created you to be. And then out of that, you can go into relationship. And then, of course, you learn the little practical tips, like, you know, set aside 20 minutes for some emotional connection, or, you know, have a physical connection 3 to 4 times, whatever. But it has to start with that foundation in the heart where everything's, you know, in alignment, and you're allowing Holy Spirit to come into all of these areas. And on that note, I think it's interesting, as Christians, we talk about being Spirit-led a lot in different, at work, or, you know what, or prophesying over a friend. But what about in your relationship? Are we truly Spirit-led in our relationships? And we even encourage people to invite Holy Spirit into your physical intimacy. And it's amazing, you guys. So if you think your marriage is pretty good, if you want to go for a deeper level of intimacy, then we encourage you to sign up and see what God can do. And it's for such a time as this, too, that He wants couples strong, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple of times the transformative power of the table work. So historically, for the last 12 years, I think the Love After Marriage has been a thing for 12 years. It's a fairly young ministry in some ways, but mature enough to really have developed itself. It's very powerful. But it's traditionally been done in person, obviously, with a group of other married couples at the table. So as we're looking into this time of transition, and I think God is in all kinds of ministries pushing people into uncomfortable areas of digital things, right? How does that work? Does that work? Does it even work?
I had that question myself, really. When we first started having workshops cancel, and we've been doing inner healing sessions online, and they've been going well, but the thought of managing a bigger group and doing that whole thing, I honestly said to Sue, "Gee, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do." And just working with Eagle Mountain and Chris and the team, and just talking to them about what they can do for us, and that we realize that, you know, in some ways it'll be easier than any workshop we've done. The table work and the interpersonal relationship, I mean, if you would have asked me, in January about that, I would have said, well, you know, I don't know. But, you know, we've all been working remote. We've all been meeting remote. And now we've been doing remote inner healing sessions, and it works. It does work, and I don't understand why, but it does. It works. In fact, it works really well. So, you know, we don't see really anything. There's just really a lot of positives. I mean, it's great to be face to face, and there's value in that. But the ability for more people to attend, better, more affordability, not having to travel. I mean, there's all kinds of advantages to being able to do it online. So I think, you know, when the COVID thing's over and we're ready to move on, I don't think we're going to move on from at least offering some online workshops.
And actually, isn't it true, I think this is true, that the ambassadors in Germany actually kind of got out ahead of this and have actually facilitated some of these actual conferences online already with incredible feedback. Is that true?
That is true. And one of the comments I heard, because they were kind of concerned how it would work out with those small table groups too, and that community that's formed, can you really do that, you know, online or digitally? And the reports were that those connections and friendships were just as strong as what people experience at tables in live workshops. So that's encouraging, because we encourage those relationships to go on, that they pray for one another and help in maintenance.
Something that I'm looking for and forward to is, you know, one of the things that we would love is these tight groups that form in 3.5 days. Well, you know, sometimes some of them live in Washington and D.C., you know, and some of them live in Montana and some of them live in Arizona. I think, you know, so are they going to get on the phone? What are they going to do? They're going to start with a digital connection. And I think it's going to be much easier for them to transition then into an ongoing relationship.
Wow, that's so good. So I'm thinking about the prophecies in Malachi about fathers being restored to their children, and let's just apply that to the entirety of family. And could it be that in COVID, that's one of God's number one agendas, is just to restore family? And so we're seeing that right now, right? People are working at home. You see families taking walks through neighborhoods now or playing in the grass because dad's working from home these days. That means we're having conversations that we probably, like you said earlier, could have avoided. And now we can't because we're in proximity.
Can't avoid it anymore.
So we're going deep. We're saying all the things that need to be said. And we're seeing some healing take place. And the other thing that I'm super excited about is the whole digital, not only does it provide a global platform, but it shows how global the Holy Spirit is. When people in different states or countries, all of a sudden the presence of the Lord increases at the same time in different locations. Like, did you feel that? It's almost like being around a table and feeling the Lord himself walk in the room, and that awareness of his presence increases. How much more does it speak to the omnipresence of God where you can see that happen online? And then it brings the Holy Spirit right back into ministry where he belongs. It wasn't just proximity, although we believe in that, but it was now the presence of God. Nobody could manufacture that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think just humans for the last 6,000 years have this habit of slipping into this worn rut of like thinking. And you see this, throughout scripture. You know, the one that comes to mind is right after the miracle at the pool of Bethsaida, where Jesus kind of is confronted with the Pharisees. And he's like, you have been studying the scriptures about me, and you don't recognize that I'm standing before you. And that's because they get in this worn path. And then even more recently, the last several hundred years, you see people kind of decide, well, this is how God works. This is what he does. This is how church is done or whatever. And then something disrupts that. And then it's this kind of feeling of, oh no, this can't be from God because this isn't what we're used to. And I don't think the Israelites were like used to seeing pillars of fire as they were leaving. That was brand new. But we read it now like a flannel graph, you know, in Sunday school, right? Like it's a normal thing. It wasn't normal to them. And I think that this is another one of those situations where God I kind of envision him almost snickering. Like, why don't you guys think this will work? I'm everywhere. Like, why are you so afraid of the digital virtual, you know, environment? But I think that a lot of people, you know, feel that way. And I'm just curious your thoughts, like, is that just a simple trick of the enemy to convince us that this isn't going to be a good love after marriage, so I might as well just put this off a little longer till after COVID? I mean, do you feel like this is just another distraction from actually going after what God has for you?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's interesting. We had a recent experience where we were kind of going under a little bit of oppression and working through it, you know, praying and seeking God and like even questioning, should we go forward with this? I mean, it was pretty heavy duty. And all of a sudden, We heard a domestic abuse happening or violence happening in our neighborhood loud enough we could hear it behind closed doors in our own home. And I just really sense the Lord saying, this is urgent. I'm calling my covenant couples to come to my heart, get restored, get redeemed, and you have a purpose here on earth for such a time as this. And it's something unique that you can't do as an individual. It's as a couple. And I pulled up this scripture. It's Romans 8, 18 through 19. And it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, right? For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed.
Wow.
And I know some of the interpretations, you know, we're getting to some theology that, you know, I'm not a theologian, but that think that revealing is it, you know, at the end times. But no, I believe God wants heaven on earth now. And that we are carriers and bearers of his glory. And particularly in a covenant marriage, in a three-chord strand, there is a purpose that he's called us to do that we can't do if we're not one and united like Jesus and the church are one. So that's I just have that sense from God. Yeah. He's drawing couples. He hears your cry, and nothing's too big for him. Yeah.
And we're really feeling a sense of urgency from the Lord. I mean, this is not... This isn't something to sit on. Our marriages aren't something to sit on. Our families aren't something to sit on. Our children, you know, and the future generations. This is something that needs to happen. And so I don't think we can sit around and wait. You know, the idea of going online and, you know, I know my unwillingness to go there because it was different, because there was a change. This whole Lamb journey has been that. I mean, when you look at nothing hidden, I mean, we grew up with most things hidden. We grew up with, how do I get by in the world?
Well, hide it all.
How do I get by in the world? Well, I don't behave the way I feel like or what I'm thinking, but I change. And, you know, will people love the real me? Guess what? They'll like you even better.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing to see. I mean, and honestly, because we lead nothing hidden and we share everything, we had the question, would people follow us if we were transparent? And the answer is way better than if you tried to be something else. You know, and we're not leading because we're smarter or we have more theology. We're leading because God called us. And that's more than enough. That's more than enough. So the continuing change of, oh, you know, transparency, you know, can we really confess our sins to one another? Yeah, we can. We can. And so creating safe environments, that's what we're all about, a safe environment where we can be transparent, because God's not going to change the stuff that you've hidden. Yeah. If you've buried it deep and you're not, you know, it's happening inside, but you're not expressing it, that's the enemy's playground right there.
The Lord began to speak to us around here that he has us on the road to demask us. And this just... thought of, Lord, transparency. And Don Potter, we love Don and Christine. They'll be here with us in September. And they, one of Don's just main drivers is the Lord said, I prefer you to be a window rather than a door. And this thought of being transparent and being okay with it, not living a lie or living something that you want people to see, but really understanding. And many people are getting the word right now from the Lord. Isaiah 60, this is my time to arise and shine, for my light has come. And so it's so easy to think, oh, my time, my light, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, no, the more you're transparent, God's light will actually shine through you.
Right.
And that's the light we're looking for. And then now, when it seems we've got a COVID constraint, next thing you know, the nation shall come to the brightness of your rising part of it. And now, you know, I don't know what your thought was previously to Lamb, but now we've got the potential through this to go global. And so we're all about, you know, around here, how can we solve the most pressing problems? And through what we're doing here, we're doing that. And so I just love not only Lamb, but I love taking it global. And I know it's global in many respects already, but I really love championing you guys and your global voice. And I believe that's what's going to happen in this season for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to springboard from that and kind of press into something that you alluded to, Sue, which is so I think a lot of times what I've seen and experienced is that couples kind of develop this unique identity, and they kind of develop this separate, you know, separate situation, if you will, from each other, and they kind of hide behind that, maybe even unconsciously hide behind that, even in a ministry. And they got these ministries that grow. And what you alluded to that I want to press into is, I think what I heard you say is that God has assignments that are designed for the couple that can never be reached unless you actually uncover the issues and become the model that God has set out for the marriage relationship. Can you speak to that?
Right, and blend your unique giftings together. There's much more power in that, right? And a lot of this is developing the spiritual intimacy. Honestly, Paul and I, we could hardly pray together before Lamb. And we loved one another. We, you know, and all those years we did separate ministries. We did ministries together. But there wasn't that flow together in the Holy Spirit. And one of our favorite examples is the couple that during the Lamb workshop, they started having the same dreams. From
wow.
God.
Wow.
And they came from a point where they could hardly live with one another to the point now where they have launched the business of their dreams and they're traveling with it. And they get to contact all sorts of people and pray for them, pray for their businesses. And it's just amazing. So, yeah, that's so just
the,
one story.
So the enemy does not want that to happen. Right? So
oh,
the enemy, so these like blended assignments, if you will, they're extremely powerful.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm assuming just like, that's one of the reasons the enemy goes after marriage so much.
Absolutely. I believe that.
Yeah. I know. I mean, as Sue mentioned, we both had done ministry and I'd done preaching and teaching and we'd led small groups. But when we first really start stepping out in Lamb and actually ministering together. I mean, not just like even on the same podium, but together. Mm-hmm. There was a multiplication of power, and we just look at each other and went, what just happened? What just happened? I mean, we're seeing lives change left and right, and it's not us.
No.
You know, it's nothing in us, but there's a spiritual component that comes when we come together, united, really, truly united, that, I mean, we just look and wonder at what God does.
And we are very different from one another. So it's not about that, like, you know, people that are alike marrying each other. But it is that uniqueness of God taking the unique qualities and giftings that he's given us and blending them together, right? And the give and take that you can have, which is hard to do if you're in a lot of tension and friction with one another, right? So this allows that kind of thing to be expressed through a couple.
A lot of what we do at Eagle Mountain is building of teams. And I remember coming out of Lamb going, I can use these tools like anywhere.
Yeah.
There's so many relational aspects to anything that we do, whether it's business, family, ministry, whatever it is. And the tools that you get from Lamb do really help you to go, wait a minute, I think my mind is on a trek about this individual who's a significant part of our team. And I think if I keep thinking this way, it's going to end bad. And so how do I notice those things early on, stop that, and apply the tools?
Practical, useful
tools.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right. And I was able to immediately use those tools.
One of the most touching moments in our ministry was we have a really awesome reconciliation tool. I mean, it's so powerful. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. I have to follow the rules, but it's very powerful. And so one of the things we do in the course of our workshop is we modeled that. And so we had asked for a volunteer for someone to come up and model reconciliation. And so an older man walks up, someone who we know and love well now, came up and we're going, his wife is not coming. That would be better if she came. And so he came up and he grabbed the mic and he said, I'd like my son to come up. It was just such an amazing moment for this dad who, I mean, he's an awesome Christian man now, but when he was a younger man, that wasn't the case. And to see him reconcile with his son, and same tool, but it was such a powerful moment. So it can be applied in all kinds of places with your kids. I mean, we've reconciled with our kids. And, and even asked for, is there something I need to reconcile over? Which was not the easiest thing to do. But it was an awesome moment to go back and heal and, just make relationships so much better.
So powerful. So powerful, the tools. And really, it's all about connecting with the Holy Spirit and allowing God to do the work. It's not that you guys, I mean, you guys are amazing and you facilitate it really well. So I don't want to not give you credit for doing an amazing job, because you do. But it's really the work the Holy Spirit does in these marriages and in individuals. I'd like to talk about a subject that we talked a little bit in the pre-show, and that is there are a lot of people out there in their marriages that kind of, they look at each other and they say, I don't know why you're always complaining. I think we have a pretty good relationship. We don't hate each other. We're not beating each other up. And, you know, our kids are doing okay. And, you know, we serve at the church and, I teach Sunday school, whatever it is. So I don't, like, why do we got to look at this? Why do we, like, I don't think we need that. That's for someone else. I don't really want to do that. What would you guys say to the person, that maybe from God's perspective, they're settling for much less than he has designed for them? In their perspective, they got it pretty good. Maybe, just like our parents, or whatever situation. What would you say to those people?
Well, we talked about, I think it's human nature to settle and not rock the boat, but you don't know what you don't know. And coming in on the other side, we have had husbands say later, you know what, my wife had to drag me into this kicking and screaming, but I am so glad that I came. And it just went beyond, improving their marriage, but the effects it had on their children and their relationships, like we were talking about, even at work.
Right.
But
right.
Even recognizing that this person they married and came into covenant with, they didn't truly know as deeply as they could have. And right. To know and to be right. known is such a gift. Yes. Yes. So I encourage people just for that alone. Everybody wants to be known, seen and understood. And it takes you to that level as a couple.
I guess maybe it seems kind of obvious, but I would say that if your wife or husband thinks you have a problem, you have a problem.
So there's no such thing as a one-sided problem.
No, there isn't. Yeah. But on the other side of that, if you're settling, it's not that just that you're going to get by. It's that you don't have the joy. You don't have the peace. You don't have the transformational things happening in your life that could be happening. And that's God's best for you. Not because he thinks you need to change. It's because he wants you to have joy and peace. He loves you. He wants good things for you. And so there's good things on the other side of that. On the other side of settling and dealing with things and bringing things out that may hurt a little to deal with, on the other side of that is joy and peace and being loved for who you are. So
I would challenge, too, if you're waiting until something's wrong to change your business, to change your home environment, to change your marriage or your personal life, imagine any sports figure that you respect were to wait until something was wrong with their game to grow or their business to grow. We just don't want you thinking at that level. We want you thinking, wait, I want to set myself up for success, and one of the best ways you can love you is to invest in you. And so that's what I'm thinking about. I don't wait until I have a problem to read a book. My mentors taught me a long time ago that in days of peace is when you prepare for war. And so I just think that valuing yourself puts you in a learning culture. And it says, I want to learn. I want to read the book. I want to go. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, do this. Be the one that initiates this for you and your wife.
Yeah,
be the
absolutely.
One that steps in and says, honey, we're doing this. And perhaps she will get the shock of her life when you say that. But whether that's true or you invest all the time and that's something that's normal, then this should be easy for that. But we want you thinking on a higher level and not waiting until you're suffering to invest. That's just not what Christians should do and the way we should live.
Yeah, so basically, what my belief is that if what you're saying is true and there are these assignments that God has for us, and then there's assignments that God has purposely crafted us for in our mother's womb to do as a married couple, then the enemy wants to make sure that we just kind of slide through life, drift through life, and miss all of that stuff. And the easiest way to get people to do that is to just settle, like we've been talking about, just settle. for something significantly far, far below what God has for us. So I really hear you guys saying, this is for somebody that has a great marriage. This is for someone who has got divorce papers in hand or separated. Now, you guys have, that happens, right? People come in, you know, literally separated. Absolutely. With divorce papers in hand. Court date set. And then, you know, what happens, right? Like, how does God, you know, can you share maybe a story or something?
Yeah. I mean, just to show that God is in this, is we had a couple come who had divorce papers. They've been separated for 6 months. You might have to tell the story. I get emotional. And, you know, we'd been praying. Our church had been praying, preparing the room. His wife walks into the room. First day. We haven't said a word. And nothing's happened. And she's hears God for the first time in 10 years.
Wow.
And he says, forgive.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I mean, that's the kind of spiritual component there is behind this. It's not just us being smart, because we're not that smart. No. It's about the Holy Spirit coming into this, because the intention is to bring him in. The intention is to not just try and be good, but to let him come in and make fundamental changes in us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's just amazing. But we've had lots of couples who've come in separated, and just through the course, we'll just watch them, you know, and they start off sitting as far apart as they can be, you know, and they start coming closer and closer and closer. And, well, to be transparent, we have a sex challenge in our workshop. Yeah. And, you know, they come back the next day and they do not look the same.
Right.
You know, so we see that kind of stuff every workshop, not just like on occasion. We had a workshop in McMinnville where we had, out of 28 couples, I think we had 16 that were trying to save their marriage from divorce.
Wow.
And the testimonies at the end were just mind-boggling. It was just so powerful. So, and clearly, we're not that good. No. We're really not.
Yeah, so one of the things I think, you know, we've heard and we've seen is couples that are basically, I mean, I don't know how to say it other than, you know, kind of bluntly. They're afraid. When you start talking about transparency, you have a ministry named Nothing Hidden Ministries, right? Like, they're going to say, you know, that's not for me. That's for them and for them, and it's cute that they do that, and I'm glad that they like that sort of thing. That's not for me. There's no way I'm going to expose myself to a bunch of strangers. Like, so what would you say to that person who right now is hearing my voice and is going, exactly, that I'm not happening? What do you say to them?
I mean, that was me, totally. I've dealt with depression since I was a little boy. And so I grew up hiding all that. I grew up hidden. And so when we got to our crisis point where we really needed something, the thought of going down and being transparent, probably only the pain factor of what we were going through was what got me down there. And we were sitting there, and we do in-session inner healing, which shouldn't work, but it works incredibly well. And there was a pastor and his wife who got up, and he had exactly the same issues I had.
Wow.
And I just went, we gotta go for it. Yeah. You know, we gotta be really transparent. So I went up and signed us up, and we were the next couple up.
Yeah.
So, wow. You know, the prize is so great.
Yeah.
It's worth the risk.
Yeah.
We had a guy who was actually, he was kind of a scary guy. He had been in special services, or what's the Secret Service?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he was actually on presidential detail, and I mean, he was a tough guy. And so we're telling him nothing hidden, and so he confessed something. And the next thing, he said, you guys screwed up. This is not better. But over the course of it, see, we're getting tools to deal with this. We're not just exposing this and leaving you to hang to dry. We're giving you tools to work through it and to reconcile. And by the end, he was just all glowing.
Yeah. You know? And his wife. That's the key thing.
Yes. And his wife.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I love this. I love, again, I'm thinking of the investment big picture. What happens to our children when parents invest into their marriage? What happens to our children's children, right? That's what Proverbs says, that a wise man will make decisions with his children's children in mind. And so when you invest into your marriage, you're giving an example to your children and your children's children. There's so many people that say, we stayed together for the children. Well, I get that, but again, that's living way below where the Lord would have you live. But knowing intentionally that what we're doing is not only investing into us as a couple, but we're investing into our children and our children's children. We're showing them what it looks like to have Jesus at the center of our marriage. That speaks volumes. People watch us all the time, whether we know it or not. And to see that glow and that passion for each other, that doesn't just happen by accident. You invest into that.
I think it's interesting. There are a lot of marriages that do stay together for the children. We're together for the children. But, you know, the ironic thing is that children are a lot more aware than, yeah, so what are we really leaving to them when we're really staying together just for them? And I'm not saying to just split up. I'm saying that they're aware. They're definitely aware. You're not hiding all of your junk from them. They see it. So... Paul?
Yeah, we, in working with people in inner healing, it's very common for someone who's got relationship problems to answer the question, did you ever see your parents affectionate? No. Did you ever see them hug? No. Did you ever see them kiss? No. I mean, it's very common, and that's doing actual damage. That's just not like, oh, well, I guess, you know, it would be nicer if they were friendly. No, they're damaging those kids. You know, we got to get to work.
Yeah, I think that you know, it's so easy to slip into habits of existence and for the busyness of life to creep in there. And a lot of times, I hate to say it, but the enemy uses ministry to creep in there and create busyness to where people aren't focused on the most important you know, relationship. And, you know, as we look towards wrapping this up, I definitely want to hit on one more thing, at least one more, but one more thing from you guys. And that is, you kind of alluded to this one also, but so a lot of times there's one spouse that's like, you know what, let's go after this. Let's see what God can do. And then the other one is like, got no time for that. I don't want that. So you've mentioned that, you know, sometimes one is being drugged by the other one, you know, by their hair, you know, kicking and screaming over my dead body, I'll go to this, but they get there. So I guess the question is how does this work when one is, you know, I think so, and the other one's like, no way, but if you're making me, fine. Like, how does God still show up? Is it still, you know, does it still work?
He absolutely does show up. And he cares about each one of them and their marriage. The power of his heart towards marriage is if we can just get them into it, they will feel it. There's a lot of intercession that happens leading up to it. We personally pray for every single attendant by name. You guys have an intercessory team that'll be praying for couples. We encourage couples to get family or friends praying for them. But the sheer heart and just that urgent passion, it's a passion of God. We just feel it, and like we feel like we ride that wave. And his call on people even before the workshop, it happens. So, you know, I don't know. It's usually the man, so maybe it'd be better for Paul to address that.
So I guess just to refine the question, which I love what you're saying, is it worth it if one spouse is like, that is garbage, I don't want anything to do with that. Is it worth it to try and get them there? What would you say to that?
I won't say it's never happened, but it's incredibly rare for someone to come even reluctantly and not be changed by at least day two to see a change. And I mean, we read their applications. We know some of them are coming. I don't know why I'm coming, or I don't know. My wife wants me to come, or my husband wants me to come. But it's very rare by day two to not see some significant investment and change in people.
I think that God knows our struggle to change at all. And he knows what it takes to bring us to the point of change. And hopefully we're growing to say, yes, Lord, I want to allow you to change. That's what equals EQ, when I can allow God to do his work in me and then trust that God's a good God. So when my grid is he's good first, then change isn't so daunting. But at the same time, you can be honest about, honey, I'm scared. I don't know what it's going to look like. This is going to be brand new. And if you go in with that transparency, then you go in as a team. You don't go in as the one kicking and screaming. You do this together. And she gets to feel your apprehension, and you get to feel hers, and just be honest. So if that's the way you're coming, then start with that transparency. But come, and you'll see God do something in you, and we would never want you to hide that. We would want you to be open about that. And the reason that you feel that may be for different reasons, and so we're not going to even fault you for that. There's no shame in that. You just come as you are and believe that God's going to do the transforming work that you need. And my encouragement to everyone listening is this. It would be a shame to go through COVID, through this lockdown, through everything that God's doing, the forced rest, all that is being said about it, and not have a better marriage, not have a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. That would be a bad use of COVID. And so let's take advantage of this season and come out the other side going, here's what I did first for COVID. It wasn't just about putting food on the table, or did the PPP help us financially, or all of those things. I invested in the things that matter the most, and we came out winners on the other side.
Yeah, I think as we kind of wrap this up, you know, I think that, you know, basically one of the greatest lies from the enemy is like what we talked about, is this complacency, is settling, is kind of drifting through. And God doesn't want that. It's super clear in Scripture. I don't know why people struggle to see that. It's super clear in Scripture, the design that he has for marriage. And it's a lot more than most marriages, what they go after. And so the ministry and the work that you guys are doing, and you know, this Nothing Hidden Ministries itself, and just from all over the world. And now that we're moving into virtual, you know, there are people that could never have attended before that can now. So, you know, I just really feel like at the end of the day, if you're listening to this, what excuse do you really have? This is a small you said, I do for my whole life. This is a tiny, microscopic, couple of day investment. I know maybe it's scary, but at the end of it, what's the worst case scenario? Yeah. Let's say the worst case scenario is you wasted 3 days. Right. Like, is that big of a deal? We're talking about a lifetime, mm-hmm. right? What would you say in closing to the spouse, or even if a couple's listening to this, that's just, I don't know, something's holding me back. I don't like that sort of thing. What would you say to them?
Well, I wanted to say that we see a significant shift in people the first night after Paul and I share our testimony. The hope level rises, faith levels rise, and we typically see people who've come in with crossed arms all of a sudden, relax, I'm in a safe place and a loving place.
If God can use you, he can use anybody.
Yes, right. And just an encouragement, too, that people have bought registrations for, like, newlyweds as a wedding present. And like we said, we wish we would have had this to begin our marriage, yes. To have these foundational things in place, and it would have avoided a lot of grief. Right.
So. Yeah, the couples we've seen that have started their marriage with this it's been pretty cool to watch them, you know.
We have lots of lamb babies.
Yes. Yeah, that's something to warn people about. Lots and lots of lamb babies.
And I've even heard stories of people who couldn't get pregnant and then came to Lamb and then got pregnant because there was something that aligned inside of them to release the blessing of God. Yes. How cool is that?
Some very dear friends of ours, yes, that they are working with us in our church to help out with Lamb. That was their story. And she was told she would never conceive again. And they were able to have one child, but they went through this, and it was out of that that she conceived again. And a couple of years later, conceived again. Wow. And so they have three beautiful babies. Yeah. Wow. And, but God just does something there, right?
That is incredible. You guys, Paul and Sue, thank you so much for your time today. It's amazing. There's the work that you're doing and the faithfulness you've had to stick through it. Even when somebody says, you know what, we're going to have to go virtual with this. And you're like, oh, I don't know about that. So just thank you so much for that. If you're watching this, I definitely encourage you to find the resources and links to whatever the current Love After Marriage conferences are. We'll put those in the show notes. So click on those, follow those. If you're listening to this and you're feeling, I kind of think maybe they're talking to me. We are. Sign up right now. We'll wait for you right now. Click the link. Did you click it? You haven't clicked the link. Click the link. Sign up. If you're not following this podcast, we have tons of amazing guests, incredible programming. You for sure want to subscribe. You can find it on YouTube as well as the podcast platforms. And we encourage you to do that. But you guys, thank you so much. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Bobby. Thanks
for having inviting us and absolutely. Making this happen for us. Right.
Absolutely. So we will see you guys in the future episodes. Thank you.